we've had some things happening here in town, and this is kind of a big picture thought.
Okay.
But looking at where our franchises are and how they're going about their business and what they're trying to do in their respective sports, I think is interesting. And you know, I've mentioned this before. I love watching the process on how teams are built. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And I think a lot of it is kind of sports based on the sport that these teams are playing.
Okay.
What do I mean by that? In the NBA, the NBA is really volatile because you have 15 guys on regular contracts. You have two on two-way contracts. In other words, you don't have a whole lot of guys. And it's a game where you have two, three, four guys who are really the basis of your team. And then you can say all you want about everybody else, but what those guys are fillers. And I don't mean the Cavs. I mean basic NBA. You know, you've got three, four guys maybe per team who you think, yep, here we go. Now we've got to get some guys to complement them, to play around them, because we need at least five guys on the floor. And so you put together a team and you kind of base it around these, you know, the key guys. But basketball, to me, lends itself to being really up and down. So there's that thought. Baseball is such a long grind that it lends itself to, I think, consistency maybe in approach that our team here has kind of mastered. And football is you better get it right at one position, and then you better supplement it through the draft to maintain what you have because you've got a ton of guys. And that hasn't really worked here. So the team on the top of the heap right now, it's the Cavs. Do you think people remember, Andy, the ebbs and flows of what's happened here with the Cavs?
I mean, because we do.
Right now, everybody's loving this, and they should.
Right.
But think about this. And going back to when LeBron James was in high school,
okay,
Cavs stunk. I mean, they had five really bad years,
okay,
that led to winning the draft lottery and getting the number one pick in 2003. I mean, they were really bad years.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. You get LeBron, the entire franchise changes. And after a couple of years, you make the playoffs, you get a trip to the finals, right. You're winning big, you know, and all of a sudden you're one of the top dogs in the NBA.
And it's fun.
Yeah. And then LeBron leaves.
Oh, that wasn't fun.
And you bottomed out for 4 years.
That was bad.
I mean, you were bad.
Really bad.
You didn't win more than 33 games. But I don't think fans cared. Because I think they kind of understood what was going on. And there was concern, can you ever do this without LeBron?
I think they were depressed.
Well, you drafted Kyrie, who is a tremendous talent, and Tristan, who did the job for you.
Right.
And then LeBron comes back. And so you went from really bad to good to really bad to great. Four straight trips to the NBA Finals. LeBron leaves. You bottom out again. You were really bad for 3 years. I mean, really bad. And you draft Darius Garland. You draft Evan Mobley. All of a sudden, you're okay. And you bring in Donovan Mitchell. You make that great, big, huge move, and you bring in Donovan Mitchell. So, I mean, the fortunes of the Cavs over the last 25 to 30 years have been drastic swings of really good and really bad. And I don't think Cav fans went away when the team was really bad. And I don't think...
It wasn't the same, though.
Well, there were a lot of LeBron fans.
Yeah.
Okay, and so that was part of the show. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we have the same type of fan base following the Cavs now that we had then, because you had a lot of people who were just in it for LeBron. Mm-hmm. And now I think you got a lot of diehard basketball fans who are loving every bit of this. But I think the sport of basketball lends itself to those wild ups and downs and big swings.
And
this front office has not been afraid to make those.
I do think it's odd, though, that, you know, since the Cavaliers won the championship in
16.
In 16. So then they come back in 17. Okay. So if you go back to 16, you know, the Warriors are the only team to repeat. And they've got, what, three titles since? Yeah, since then. They've had three titles. I do find it interesting that for a sport that just seemed like it was dominated by Golden State and the Cavs for, you know, until, what, 2019? Right? And then the Lakers win, right? I know it was pandemic. Then the Lakers win. Then the Bucks win. Back to the Warriors. Then over to the Nuggets. And then the Celtics. So the parity has been there for the league. As far as, because I think we get bored sometimes when we watch two teams battle for the finals every year. But the fact that the Cavs had won, I think, you know, broke up the mundane feeling about having the same two teams going back and forth. Plus, it was LeBron. Like you said, LeBron is an entity unto his own beyond just the team that he plays for. So I do find it interesting where we were sitting there for a while. We're like, man, Golden State is this dynasty stuff here, right? All of a sudden, it's not so much.
I think our fan base has given the Cavs a lot of leeway because of the LeBron factor. You know, and I don't think anybody went away, but I think the front office that's in place now with Kobe Altman and Mike Gansey, they've made some big, big moves. You had high draft choices because you earned them by stinking, and you'd made some good picks there, and now they're doing it without LeBron, which is something that this team hasn't been successful without LeBron since the late 1990s.
Yeah,
they weren't wildly successful then because they didn't have a ton of talent.
I can't tell you last time I thought about LeBron playing here, you know, or trying to be a part of this, especially at 40 years old.
Well, it's been a while now.
Yeah.
So it's been a while now. The Guardians, would this surprise you? They've had losing seasons in two of the last 4 years. Does that surprise you? Surprised me a little bit. I knew with Terry they've had a lot of success, but even though with two of the losing seasons in the last four, they've also had only two losing seasons in the last 12. And this front office, I think. We know the budget situation, and our team is not going to spend lavishly on free agents. That's okay. I don't mind because it gives me another aspect, another way to look at this team. And I think that our front office, as Andy looks at his glasses with a broken arm, I love that. Can we get that fixed?
I got to find the broken piece.
Yeah. Oh, you don't even have the arm?
I had it
this
morning.
Our engineers have duct tape.
I don't want duct tape. I want super glue.
Well, but they have
that. It's a clean break, too.
You could put super glue on it and then duct tape it up.
Okay, MacGyver.
It would look good.
More of Baskin and MacGyver coming up after the break.
I feel bad for you.
We'll get it fixed.
Perfect.
I actually thought he walked into the room. We'll get it fixed.
Thanks,
Coach.
I think that our baseball team, as opposed to the basketball team, which will take these big swings and did with Donovan Mitchell, clearly. And, you know, LeBron came back, so there's the big swing. But our baseball team doesn't take those big swings. Instead, they do it kind of the old school way. I almost equate them to being the Pittsburgh Steelers
of baseball.
The
last time they took a big swing was what, Swisher and Bourne?
Edwin Encarnacion. And
Miller?
See, and even,
Andrew Miller, was
and
that a big
even
swing?
Even those, Andy, those aren't big,
was big, that a
big swings. They were
Miller?
Big swings for our franchise,
yeah.
But they're not big swings in baseball. And that's okay by me because I think they approach their game the way they have to succeed in this market for them with this ownership, which I think we have great ownership for the baseball team. And I know a lot of people don't feel that way. I do. I think they set a great tone and put the franchise in a position to succeed. Our football team has taken big swings. And they've missed. And they've tried to build it through the draft. And they've missed. And that to me is why you get so many angry Browns fans. I don't think we get a lot of angry Guardians fans. And it's interesting to me because we, even when the Cavs stunk, I don't think we had a lot of angry Cav fans. Do you? It's been a weird dynamic to me.
Well, we also had, they were LeBron fans, too. I mean, there was a
different dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah. But because in a sport like basketball, one player can dominate. You can't do that in football. You can't do that in baseball. You got to have all night. Unless you've got the pitcher that can go out there and win every game, it's not happening. So
LeBron came back on his own, right? And the franchise made that happen. But you know, it's not like they went out and made that big swing. They did make that big swing for Donovan Mitchell. the football team tried to make the big swing for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
That one didn't work. The Mitchell one did. The baseball team hasn't made the big swing, yet they continue to produce winning baseball teams.
They didn't. They didn't last year.
They're just different ways of approaching this. Do you like one more than the other, folks? 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan. Jeff Phelps, Sandy Baskin, who found red electrical tape and the arm to his glasses, and now he looks like he's some trendy,
cool kid. Oh, you think that's the arm, don't you?
Or did you just create something?
Those are two coffee straws.
Okay.
Well, here's the problem.
I'm glad you can read.
Any electrician that's worth their salt, any of the boys from 38, here's my question for you. Does anybody really ever use red electrical tape? Because that's the only time I could find it. I was looking for the black. Couldn't find any black. I had to search through the engineer shop to try to find some black electrical.
You broke in?
No. Keith let me. And all they had was red electrical tape. Okay. I don't know if I'm...
You'll be getting a bill for that.
Why in the world would you use red electrical tape? Is it cheaper than black electrical? I mean, black electrical tape is the standard.
You're the son of an electrician. You should know.
I know. This is why I'm like, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
I don't know either.
I'm bothered by this, especially because as a kid, we had electrical tape all over the place because that's, what my dad did. And I had it all over everything. Like, I would tape everything together. My mom painted my dresser, and I took electrical tape, and I thought it was really cool. And I took the electrical, and then I started just chipping away at the paint the whole time. She was not happy when she came back in the room. I was very young, though. Very young. I was at least 18.
Our buddy Jason Lloyd from The Athletic has written a piece that's out that's going to infuriate Browns fans.
Okay.
In numerous ways. And a lot of it, Dano, involves quarterbacks. That's stunning to me.
Yeah, it's amazing how it continues to come back to that position no matter what else happens.
Sure does. Now,
everything else may change, but some things still remain the same.
But it involves more than one quarterback.
Well, and that's the whole thing.
And a guy who coaches quarterbacks.
That's the whole essence of this piece that is out on The Athletic right now involving just Deshaun Watson, his tenure with the Browns. The headline of it, the Browns gave Deshaun Watson what he wanted, and now they're paying the price. Is the name of the piece, and there's a lot of interesting stuff in here. Even going back to the previous season of Joe Flacco joining the Browns in December, threw for 300 yards for four consecutive games, something Watson failed to do once in his 19 starts with the Browns. This is Jason Lloyd, by the way. Flacco's performance during the 11-6, of course, the comeback player of the year, but here's the big quote in there. Quote, "You have to bring Joe Flacco back. Somebody has to teach Deshaun the offense," one of the members of the organization said, as the season neared its conclusion.
Here's the line.
"Joe picked it up faster in 30 days than Deshaun did in 2 years."
Wow. Wow.
So what are you supposed to think about that?
I'm thinking that Deshaun has struggled to understand the offense, according to one member of the organization. And anyone that watched him play quarterback for the Browns. I mean, we saw what Joe did, and we've seen what Deshaun could do. I want to give Deshaun all the benefit of the doubt, saying that injuries are hampering him, and that's why it was. The line from the member of the organization was, quote, "Joe picked it up faster in 30 days than Deshaun has in 2 years."
All right, so what are you supposed to think about that?
I think they should have kept Joe around to help Deshaun. I don't disagree with that. I think that they were more worried about getting Joe Chance in the beginning of the season when Deshaun was struggling than they did about the long-term ramifications of what was going on with the organization. Thank you. I now have black electrical tape. Who brought that in?
Ray.
Ray, thank you.
You're the best, Ray.
Ray, in what world? You walked away.
Our chief engineer, Ray, brought Andy black electrical tape.
I love it. Fixed. Ray's good.
Get it fixed, Andy.
Okay, but I couldn't find any black electrical tape.
Well, moving on in this piece.
Oh, this is the good stuff, too. It's scotch. Good.
I thought you meant what I was going to read for half a second.
No, the red stuff's the UL stuff, which is it's just tested. But, like, this is the gold standard for electricians. Just saying. The
it's
scotch
great.
Stuff, yeah. Okay. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
I don't even have words. All right. 2 weeks
I need
after-
a tester is what I need. I need one of those little testers. Okay.
Beep. 2 weeks after Scott, or almost said Scott Van Pelt. 2 weeks after Alex Van Pelt was fired again, Jason Lloyd's piece in The Athletic. Give it a read when you get a chance. 2 weeks after Alex Van Pelt was fired, Bill Callahan departed as the offensive line coach to join his son Brian's staff in Tennessee. Jason spoke to players who believe Callahan would have stayed had Van Pelt remained on the staff. When Brian first started receiving head coaching interviews in 2023, Bill made it clear he's staying in Cleveland, but all of that seemed to change when Van Pelt was fired.
Is that more about Van Pelt, or is it more about the organization selling its soul to
Deshaun?
Try to make Deshaun work.
Is the implication there that Deshaun didn't like Van Pelt?
No, the implication that Jason just comes right out and says is that Deshaun never embraced Kevin's system.
Yeah, the paragraph before is basically saying that Stefanski
said you're going to thrive in this offense.
Exactly.
And Deshaun never went for it.
Exactly. Never embraced the system, wanted to be in shotgun.
Which could be exactly why they changed and went to Ken Dorsey this year, thinking that Ken could implement an offense that was better suited to Deshaun, which... You want to play speculative, connect the dots, which could be why Kevin at one point just finally said, okay, fine, I'm not going to call plays anymore.
Here's my place.
Deshaun's out. There, go.
He put his arms up in the air because Deshaun wasn't going to listen?
Well, no, he called plays while Deshaun was still healthy.
Yeah, but maybe not executing the plays that he wanted.
I don't know.
I wonder. Also,
I mean,
isn't that the implication on this one?
I took it as I can't understand this language. Somebody else do it who's more qualified to do this than I am in this system. That's how I understood it.
All right, so now do we think Kevin's going to call plays next year?
Yes.
I do. Yeah.
Because I think we're going to go back to Kevin Stefanski's going to go back to what Kevin Stefanski does well. The piece continues with far more involved in this. Late August practice, all four Browns quarterbacks went through a standard footwork and accuracy drill. Generally ends with each quarterback hearing a color on command from an assistant coach, firing passes toward the net. So, Andy, red. And you would throw towards the red.
Oh, good.
Thing. Yep.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
So
why is this a problem?
Well, see, because it continues this way. Of all the other quarterbacks, the four quarterbacks who were here were a part of this drill, and Deshaun Watson was throwing passes to an equipment staffer nearby. One rival executive who spoke with the Browns before the start of the season was concerned about the road ahead of them. Quote, not one ounce of positivity is coming out of the offense. The vibes aren't exactly high, that executive said.
You took the big swing at the quarterback, Deshaun.
Right.
You thought you were getting the guy who had played very well for the Houston Texans, despite getting sacked an awful lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it just hasn't worked. Is it that simple, guys? I personally think it is. The guy that you had in Houston isn't the guy that you ended up with in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. I think bottom line is it's absolutely that simple. Now, there are a lot of factors why that might be the case, but I think that's the bottom line. And I think the organization not only is ready to move on, I think has to move on. You know, with the guy being injured, he's going to have 1 year left on his contract, probably won't be able to play at all next year, and then you're left with 1 year on the contract. You got to go Denver. You got to, you know, you're eventually going to have to cut him. You're going to have to bite the bullet. You're going to have to move on at quarterback. It's that simple. And it's digging like this that Jason has done, and it's good stuff, does nothing but make you think that. Agreed?
Yeah. I'm. The more you read on in this piece, and the more you start thinking about what we're talking about, it's turn the page, man. Time to turn the page 100%.
Well, the injury certainly puts you in that position because with 2 years left on the contract, and with him not being able to play, we're assuming for all of 2025. It leaves you with 1 year, and you're going to have somebody else playing quarterback next year who you hope comes in and actually does the job.
But you have constraints about how much you can pay for him because we're worried about salary
cap. So what? You can. There are all kinds of guys you can get who can come in and be, you would think, competent at a reasonable price.
Is there a prognosticator out there, if it was today and people were picking the AFC North, is there anybody that would pick the Browns to not be in fourth place?
Maybe.
Based on what?
Based on the Bengals' defense and their offensive line.
Pittsburgh's kind of shoulder shruggish.
And Pittsburgh might be the team that slides.
We don't have a quarterback at all.
I'm aware. I'm
Pittsburgh
aware.
Didn't last year either.
They were leading the division. More of a quarterback than we do.
No, last year at this time they didn't have one, and they found two.
It would feel like somebody's about to do it, then that person would lead one of the talking head shows, and they would yell at each other about it for 20 minutes. And it would be insufferable, but someone would watch it.
Are you implying us or another show?
No, I'm talking on the television.
Oh, okay. I was just making sure.
Yeah, one of the yelling on the television. No, we really don't yell at each other. We kind of pride ourselves on that.
I think we get loud. Get loud. Is that a fair assessment?
We get loud.
We try not to yell at each other.
You guys both speak very loudly.
Jeff, I've heard you get loud before, too. Evil Jeff Phelps is loud.
No, I didn't. Of course, everybody does, but, you know. You guys have a little higher decibel level.
Someone please call in right now, 216-474-0092, and tell Jeff you said something that he never said.
All right, so we could all, whatever adjective that you want to pick to describe this offense
okay.
that was with Deshaun Watson in there is up to you. Whether it's clean or dirty, I don't care.
Wow.
But we all have certain adjectives that we would use to describe this offense.
The Deshaun Watson or the overall offense?
The Deshaun Watson offense when he was in there.
Are we picking a word?
If you would like to.
Jeff, you want to go first or you want me to go?
Ineffective.
Nauseating.
I would go with atrocious or horrendous. I'm not sure which one, but it'd be one of the two.
So you guys didn't bring the physical aspect into it the way I did. I'm feeling pretty good about myself right now.
Well,
I'm going to go take a champion's lap.
As you always should. All right, so the other side of this is they would, of course, watch film in between there, and we all saw them were mistakes, missed wide receivers, missed tight ends, whatever you want to point it to, on the field at the time. And apparently, in Jason Lloyd's piece here, according to multiple players, those mistakes were not pointed out in film sessions. It frustrated a few veterans who believe Stefanski wouldn't criticize Watson in front of the team. When Jameis Winston replaced Watson, players said Stefanski returned to pointing out quarterback mistakes in film sessions.
That's a little touchy, isn't it? Can anybody disagree with this statement? Kevin Stefanski, Deshaun Watson, there couldn't be any more square peg, round hole. That combination just looked doomed from the start.
You know, it was weird, though. Kevin still was able to have positive first drives with him. I think that was about the only, and then the game would turn sour after that. How about the executive in the piece that said, not an ounce of positivity about the offense?
Yeah.
The vibes aren't exactly high.
The organization took the big swing and missed. And I wonder why they missed. You know, did Deshaun's football game fall off so badly? Were the off-the-field things such a big deal that it just derailed him? Did he not give a you-know-what? Because he got paid. I mean, he told the Browns he didn't want to come here.
Yeah.
And then they went ahead and traded for him anyway. Was his attitude, blech, when he got here, and that's why this didn't work?
I watched the first press conference.
Did the coaching staff not like the guy?
The Browns, the front office and ownership didn't turn their back on him when he had heavy allegations coming at him. Right? Even though they might have been stuck, nobody turned their back on them. Nobody did. So I don't know. You know, you would think now that we're at the end of this thing that maybe he might be like, well, you know, they did kind of stand by me there.
I can't say it enough. Go read Jason's piece on The Athletic. There's one more thing that we need to get into, and I'm getting on my soapbox for this one.
Okay.
In June, his agent received a disturbing email of someone threatening to shoot Deshaun Watson or burn down his house.
What?
I will get on my soapbox right now. I don't care what the quarterback does. This is a game. And he is a human being. There's no place for this. There's no place for that whatsoever.
Of course not.
And that is inexcusable from anybody who even thought about doing something like that, let alone the one who hit send on that email. That's disgusting, and there's no place.
Absolutely. Did they get the person?
They have not. No suspects were identified. So if you are the person who did that, that is inexcusable.
After all that, there will be somebody else at quarterback this year. There will be somebody else coordinating the offense. Maybe somebody else calling the plays. Mary Kay Cabot, plaindealercleveland.com. We'll get into that with us coming up next. Who does she think is going to call the plays? It's Baskin and Phelps on The Fan.